It's still difficult being called pastor. I'll be honest with you. I had a friend of mine, and he got into the ministry, and the first thing that they started doing is calling him brother. And he wrote a small pamphlet. He said, it's hard to be called brother. And sometimes with that comes the responsibility. It comes new things. And I learned very quickly just how heavy the burden is when you become pastor. And I have more respect for that office than I ever have, for the sacred desk than I ever have. And even this morning, I come just humbly thanking you all for allowing me this opportunity to preach to you, to love on you, and try to encourage you. You're my kind of people. My dad, he planted churches in North Dakota. Four of those churches still remain. We had the opportunity when I worked at Temple Baptist with Pastor Pearson. We had the opportunity for me as a youth pastor to take a missions trip back to one of the churches that my dad planted in North Dakota and encourage them and help them. And boy, that was just incredible. And so now I never thought in a million years, never thought that God would ever use me in the way that he has. And being able to allow us to then get our feet wet and sort of dig down deep into Anderson County and then plant this work with the assistance and the help of Pastor Pearson to be a second generation church planter. And I never even thought of it that way until it actually had already happened. And I looked back and said, this really did just happen. And so I'm just so thankful to Pastor Mark for allowing us to be here. And all those that have such an influence here, Brother Yingling, thank you so much for the opportunity and for loving on me. And of course, Brother Garvin, Miss Faye, thank you so much for loving on me. They've all been so good to me all along. They don't treat me like the little kid that I act like half the time. But anyway, 38 years old, and I'm just now feel like I'm getting started and excited. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to the book of Genesis. And as we turn there, I want to give just an idea about where we're going this morning. In ministry, we understand that it is by God's grace that any of us even have the opportunity. It's grace. Grace greater than us. Too many times we feel, and I'm afraid too many times, and I know this morning not everybody in this room is maybe in a full-time capacity or in ministry, but I'm afraid of this, and I think I can say this with some boldness and authority. Too many times, too many men, too many people in ministry will then begin to do that out of their own power, and it becomes a way of getting by, becomes just what they do. Instead of the humility coming in and then seeing what could be done if they are 100% given to what God wants to do with them. I'm afraid what happens is in the early stages, just as though I'm preaching right now from maybe a front page newspaper out of my life, is we are able and capable of certain things. And because of that capability and that availability and then what we have for ability, we come to a place that we're able to do some things. And then what happens is it immediately it just stops in its tracks, because it does not have the supernatural power of God on it, because we are doing it in our own power. This is when failure takes place. This is when men fall out of the ministry. This is when ministries don't go another step forward. They plateau, they absolutely stagnate, and they do not move forward. As a Christian, I don't know where you are in your own personal life, but maybe that's an indicator for you. You're wondering why you can't go further. And I know that we're speaking to the creme de la creme. We're speaking to really God's chosen even this morning. But there's no doubt about it, for many of us, we are searching for a particular element that will never be achieved. We'll never get it until we get to a place of humility in our life. God brings it in different ways. Sometimes he has to break us to get us to that point. Sometimes he has to allow us to go through a season of pain, of hurt, of suffering, of anguish, of silence. You know, God is never far away. He's not the needle in the haystack. He's always there. But sometimes he allows himself to be just out of reach, so we will continually pursue him. So then when that moment comes that he will allow us to then grab a hold, it proverbially with you, the hem of his garment, to just feel that touch once again. This morning, I want us to go and see this life of Joseph, and I want to share some things with you this morning that have been so real in my life. As I got into this, and Pastor Pearson, I appreciate so much his introduction, I'm involved with what they call the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. How many are aware of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes? If you are taking any notes, I want you to write down FCA.org. Look there. I got connected to this back years ago just as a preacher. It was a vehicle. It was an avenue for me to get into the public school system and be able to reach those people that I loved. I was a sports fanatic. I played sports in college. I played sports in high school. I still to this very day, still play. And I love it. I eat it, sleep it, drink it kind of thing. And then when I really finally grew up and realized that it wasn't life, that there was something more to it, it was still a part of my life. It was awesome to be able to come to a church, work for Pastor Pearson, and here he was, a man, when I got there, he was in his, 60s and still being able to go on the court and shoot hoops. And I was able to be his athletic director for a while. So athletics was always a part of my life. And as I got involved with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, I realized at that point just how big of an opportunity this was as a mission field to reach literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people through the avenue of sports. And what I found was, is in my own merit, in my own little short, bald, weird-looking way, I would go in and try to create these relationships with coaches and with principals and with administrators, and I was just sort of falling up short. It's like, man, I'm not cool anymore. I'm not happening anymore. And so I begin to ask the Lord for something as I entered into this. And this is where I derive this morning this message, because this was a portion of my life. Now, I want you to be very careful this morning as you hear me. We all are in God's favor. Okay, I'm going to say that again. We are all in God's favor. He highly favors us. We're His children. He loves us. There is nothing that you can do. I don't care how good you are. I don't care what kind of checklist you have. There is nothing you can do to earn more favor. Okay, I want to say that one more time because I'm afraid sometimes this gets lost. There's nothing you can do to earn more grace or more favor. We all have it, and it's given to us unmerited. But there are certain people that we look to in ministry, and you can't help but just sit back. By the way, you come in this beautiful auditorium, and Brother Mark, no doubt about it, there was an unbelievable path laid before you. What a heritage you've been given, but unbelievable responsibility to continue what you've been given and to strengthen those things which remain and go to a whole nother level. But you look around and you think, man, somebody had the favor of God on their life to be able to do something of this nature, to be able to go somewhere and do something that has such an impact, not just maybe on just this area, but now look at this. I mean, this church, unbelievable how it far reaches into the entire world. What incredible favor. There's not a man or a woman that doesn't dream about having the favor of God, that what they touch is not only touched by God, but yet makes a huge difference for His cause. See, I want to have the power of God on my life, and I realize that there are things that I do that prevents His touch and prevents Him from doing what He wants to do in my life. And yes, we can put that in the context or contextually talk about sin and how that keeps us from what God wants, but it's even more than that. It's obedience. And in my opinion and in my belief, as we could get deeper into this subject, it's when the old pride of life comes in. And it absolutely robs us of the humility that God desires. So then He can uplift us with His grace and His favor to take us to heights we've never known, to do things we've never imagined, to make an impact on this world that's been never seen. But we have so much pride. Well, what happened in Joseph's life? Let's take the Bible, and we're going to look at Genesis. Of course, if you study anything about Joseph, you realize that in his life, he went through a series of ups and downs. How many in the ministry this morning have been on the roller coaster ride of ups and downs? That is the indicative way of going through the ministry. You'll have high highs and you'll have low lows. I'm learning that. And I'm learning also, especially as pastoring, that too many times I'll put these numbers and put that as what I'm maybe being perfect at or accomplishing something. Maybe that's my indicator. And that was never God's intention. God's intention was never in the sheer numbers of what we're doing. It's in the fact of who we're doing it for and the humility. Because, by the way, if you're doing something and you can come up and walk away from it and say, you know what, that was me. I did a pretty good job. All those people patting you on the back. But if you walk away and they say, man, what a Savior, what a God, what an unbelievable thing. That was a touch of God this morning. Boy, that just brings all the admiration. It brings all the glory back to the Lord. Joseph went through some things of way high ups and way high, way, way lows, I should say. Look at Genesis chapter 39. And we're going to highlight a couple things and not go into great depth of all the scripture. I know I'm speaking to people that are very familiar with this passage of scripture. When we think of having this unmerited favor, there was never a man, and even penned in words, there was never more great attention given to the very word of this word favor. In verse 30, chapter 39 and verse 2, the Bible says, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." This is in Potiphar's house. In verse 3, "And the master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand." So what did Joseph do that allowed him to, whatever he touched, to prosper? Wouldn't you love to be able to have the kind of power, the kind of favor, the kind of unmerited favor, the kind of grace on your life that what you touch is blessed? There's no doubt about it. There's not a person here. There's not a missionary that doesn't want to go to, whether it be Cambodia, wherever it is that you're going. Whatever it is, Brother Price, you're going to do, you want to be able to make an impact, and not just so you can send back a good letter and say, "Look at all the stuff we're doing, and maybe that merits what you've been paying me, what you've been supporting me for." But no. This is with the God of Almighty Jehovah. This is really what God is trying to do as a global aspect of what he has the power to do. And he's using me to do it. But what happens when we look at our life compared to Joseph and we see that he was a prosperous man, in verse 3, that the Lord was with him? Now look at verse 21. The Bible says, "And the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy." And what does the Bible say now? It gave him what? It gave him favor. "In the sight of the keeper of the prison, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners and were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it." And look at verse 23. "The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." I want to give you four things this morning. We're going to parallel this. We're going to give you a couple other verses of scripture, but here's what it all comes down to, is having the favor of God. I use this as the illustration of FCA. I started going into the schools, and I just was not seeing what so many other people were seeing. A group of men that were involved with FCA, as we met together for a regional meeting, and some of these men pastored large churches. Some of these men have seen the hand of God move in mighty ways in times past. We sat down and we were able to share some of our fears and our anxieties about ministry. The Fellowship of Christian Athletes works in the capacity that you have to raise support to even work for the fellowship. And yeah, there were anxieties about raising funds. There was anxiety about how we were going to be fully funded. It was anxieties about making a ministry truly work. But one of the greatest anxieties that I brought, one of the greatest fears I had, was how do I really get in with these coaches? Some of the hardest people that you're ever going to meet is those coaches, because every single person that knocks on their door, every single person that comes into their office wants something. And when the local preacher comes into their office and says, "Hey, coach, hey, listen, man, I want to talk to you about something," the first thing he thinks is, "What is your inroad? What are you trying to get from me?" And these men sat around, and as I shared that burden, they asked me this question. Two men, in different ways, asked me this question. "Have you prayed for the favor of the Lord?" And I began to take the big theological time out. I said, "No, wait. There's nothing I can do to earn more favor. There's nothing I can do to earn more grace." And then the most obvious came so true to me. Look at verse 21. "And the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy." But watch this, gave him favor. Did he say he gave him favor in his sight? He gave him favor what? In the sight of the keeper. See, it was not the fact, and here's where I got it all wrong. It wasn't the fact I was getting more favor of God, but the fact that God would give me more favor with man. Every one of you will have a door to knock on. Every one of you will have things that you have to go through, whether it's getting a visa, whatever it could be, whether it even pertains to us right here in local A-Town America, that we have to have some kind of open door to whether have an impact on our governor, impact on our mayor, impact on whatever we can do. But God can do the most incredible things if God's people will begin to ask for the favor with other folks. When I begin to pray and ask God on a daily basis and a weekly basis, I'm here not to preach to FCA, because I'm telling you, I'm going to apply this directly to what's happening at Gospel Light, what's happening personally in my life, that God literally allowed an explosion to happen in a spiritual sense, and I saw things happen on a scale like I've never seen before. Right now, meeting in Anderson, South Carolina, is a board for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and they are meeting. They did not exist before. And now they are meeting, and they're meeting this morning, and I'm not able to be there, and they know they're praying for me right now. Listen, those folks right now are taking the gospel further than it's ever been in the school system, because we were asking for the favor of the Lord. Let me tell you what happened. In the last 2 years in Anderson County, God sent a brand new, in Anderson District 5, a brand new superintendent. Guess what the superintendent wanted? He wanted to see FCA in the schools. When he wanted the FCA in the schools, he started appointing. There's an athletic director at Westside High School. He's the highest paid athletic director in the state of South Carolina. He's in six figures as an athletic director. He leads my Bible study every week on the campus of his high school. He has led coaches to the Lord. What God is being able to do in and through the FCA is not what I was able to do. I did not have this unbelievable favor with all these men. But when I begin to pray the prayer, and then I begin to help other people pray the prayer with me and say, would you help me pray that God would give us favor with key individuals and key prayer people that can make this ministry happen, it began to explode. And it took me to a whole nother level that it was not me. I was going in and trying to make everything happen. How many of us are trying to make it happen in our ministry? We're trying to make it happen in our life. And when we truly need the favor of God with that person, with those other people. By the way, this is where humility comes in place. This is when true humility, and we're getting ready to get into this. This is when true humility comes in place, that you don't come in there toting about how good you are, but it's how great God is. And watch this. You look at verse 23, the Bible says, the keeper of the prison looked not at anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Let me give you four things very quickly. Number one, in the pit. In the hour of torment. In the hour of torment, in Genesis 37, 23 through 24, we find that here was the first marks of the making of Joseph having an unmerited favor on a next level with individuals. He had the favor of the Lord, no different than you and I have the favor of the Lord. But God gave him great favor with the people that pulled him out of the pit. See, in your Christian life, you're going to go through some torment. You're going to go through some times that, listen, you don't want to go into. There'll be some tumultuous times in your life, but it's a God in heaven that loves you so much, and his grace will be so real that he will allow somebody to come along and reach down that hand, and it'll be more than just the prayer that you have. It'll be a hand that you can hold, a person that's going to care, a preacher that's going to show. There's going to be somebody reach down, and you're going to be in that pit of despair, and God's going to pull you up. See, nothing gets me more excited than to see the body of Christ work the way he intended it to work, and that's that we are so aware of our brothers, sisters in Christ, those people that have fell into a pit of despair, whatever it is that they're into. I've met so many people that are getting out of the ministry. You know why? There's not enough people reaching down and trying to pull them up and encourage them and be the person that we needed and intended, God intended us to be, and that's to help the brethren. Here you find Joseph. Already had the favor of the Lord, but he had the favor of the Lord in a pit. In the hour of torment. I don't know what hour you're in right now, but every one of us are in some hour of our life, some season of life. Number two, he's in the Potiphar's house. In Genesis 39, 12, it's the hour of temptation. There's a lot of temptations out here. There's no doubt about it that one of the concerns for not only mission agencies, churches, it's the purity of those people that are purposing in their heart to serve. Because Satan would love to break up a family by stealing the purity and the integrity, by taking away something out of that man or that woman's heart by the way of temptation. Sometimes money is the temptation. The temptations this morning for you vary from the person sitting next to you. We're all tempted in some form or fashion. And by the way, if you think that you are untemptable, if there is such thing, if there you believe that there is no way that you can get pulled into temptation, you got another thing coming. And I guarantee to you, it's just a matter of time before something comes up. And maybe it's the fact that all you do is complain. Maybe it's the fact of all you do is run down the leadership, the people that God's placed over you. But we have a major issue with authority these days in the church. Man, it is nothing for the pastor to be ate for lunch, for breakfast, and for dinner. He's the main course. And the temptations come in every possible way. Do you still have the favor of the Lord? Yes, you'll have the favor of the Lord, but I'm telling you, you will stop His grace. You will stop that mercy. You will stop Him from going where He wants to go and to take you where He wants to take you. And by the way, take your favor to a whole nother level with the people in your life to make your life impactful. See, I don't want to just live my life for me. I want to live my life that it can impact not only Anderson County, that entire community. Our theme for our church is gospel. Gospel is a light for the world and a home for your family. We want to make it known that gospel light is truly a light. And it'll never happen without that favor with people from without. Watch this. In the pit, in Potiphar's house, and look at this, in Genesis 39, verse 20. He's in prison. How many have gone through a trial recently? Maybe you're right in the middle of a trial. Maybe you're not in prison. Don't tell me if you're in prison, but every one of us have probably either been in a trial, we're going through a trial, or probably ones just on the horizon. Health, wealth, there could be a whole series of what is the trial of your life. You know how many people will go through the trial and give up and say, you know what, God's forgot about me? We immediately go to the idea of Lot sitting in the ashes. We sit there and we basically just give up. We don't think God's for us. By the way, He is for you. He's never been against you. Man, you got to continually remind yourself, God's for me, not against me. God's for me, not against me. We have more pity parties and we only invite ourselves. I know this is probably simple preaching. But there ain't a doubt, there's no doubt in my mind somebody's here this morning that's either been tempted, you've been in torment, or you're in the midst of a trial, and you've even been questioning the favor of the Lord on your life. You put up a panel of missionaries or preachers, they can't help but somehow, some way look at what somebody else is doing and look at what they are not doing and immediately think, well, what am I doing wrong? He's got so much favor. This is working so well for him. Man, all this is going good. Listen, what in the world? Folks, I'm telling you this morning, I might as well have come up here and just introduced myself as Shamgar. I'm serious. There's no rhyme or reason why he'd use Chad Gamble. There's no rhyme or reason why I would even be in a place that somebody on the caliber of these folks would even approach me and call me pastor. There is no rhyme or reason to that. But I am telling you this, when there comes a place in your life that you want him and only him, and you're willing to sacrifice everything else, including your name, your prize, all the kinds of promotions, it doesn't matter, you want him and only him. Watch this. Then when God moves in, touches your life, gives you grace, and gives you an unmerited favor like you've never seen before. In prison in the hour of trials. In the palace. Look at this. Turn to Genesis chapter 41. I like this. Genesis chapter 41, we follow Joseph's life all the way to the place of great prominence. We find it in 41 verse 39. The Bible says this. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou. And here's what he says, thou shalt be over my house, and according to unto thy word shall all the people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him with vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow thy knee. And he made him the ruler of all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name, Zaphnath-Paneah. You have a King James Bible you can look over. You have a Scofield. You'll be able to see a reference. Over here it says Coptic. Revealer of secret things. See, what Joseph was able to do with his life was in the humility of everything that he went through, from the pit to Potiphar's house to prison. God was able to give him a great promotion. And in the end, he was placed in the palace and he had incredible favor with the one man that he needed to have favor with. And God used his life. Well, he never had to compromise. He never had to sell out. He never had to do something to get it. All he had to do was do him, be him. And God took his life and put him in an unbelievable position. And God even allowed his name to be understood and recognized as the one that revealed the secret things. Let me tell you something. If you got a secret prayer life, the Bible says, now listen to this, he says that if you have that secret prayer life, he'll reward thee openly. I'm telling you this morning, your power is going to come from the humility, and it's going to come from your prayer closet and the power that you're getting from Almighty God on a personal basis. I met a preacher not too long ago, and here's what he told me. He said, I don't dream anymore. Here's what he told me. He'd been pastoring for years. He said, I don't dream anymore. He said, I don't dream anymore. He said, my dreams don't come true. I'm tired of dreaming. I wonder how many men would be that honest. I wonder how many missionaries would be that honest and say, you know what? I'm not dreaming no more. I'm not dreaming of going to the mission field and seeing unbelievable things happen and seeing multiple churches. I'm not going to dream the way in which Brother Garvin and Miss Faye dreamed and been able to see unbelievable. I mean, who's seen it on that level before? Who's been able to see it on that kind of scale before? I'm not going to dream like that. I'm just going to go and take my four and no more and just try to do what I can. And although doing all you can is important, we don't have much time to do all we can. We got to do everything possible for the Lord's sake, because he's coming soon. Now's not the time to put her in cruise control. Now's the time to put it in sixth gear if you have a high-performance vehicle and go all out. Go good, big guns, all in. So where we go with this? In Matthew chapter 6, 4, 6, and 18, it says, he that seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to turn with me one last place in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And we find all throughout the Bible, from Daniel 1:9 to Acts 7:9 through 10, we find these mentioning of the favor of the Lord. But as you take your Bibles and you turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, I want you to read something with me in verse 5. The Bible says this, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject to one another. Can I give you just a quick synopsis without changing any meaning? There's no meaning. This is completely contextual. Submission. We talked about, just in a brief sentence, the problem in so many churches is authority. I'm afraid even from the pulpit stands, from those that we are sending out in the mission fields, those that are in ministry, anybody going to tell me what to do? I'm going to do it my way. The reestablishment of authority is when you humbly find yourself in submission. By the way, when I'm truly submissive and I'm truly humbled before him, I will be humble before my pastor. I will be humble before the men of God. I will be humble before the people. 1 Peter chapter 5, and the Bible says this, 5, likewise ye younger. Now, the word likewise, you have to say, well, what are we speaking of? Well, we're speaking of these elders. We're speaking of these ones that are in charge. But it goes even further as we go further in verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear. So now we're talking about, once again, a structure of authority. A chief shepherd, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. So the elders submit themselves to the chief shepherd. And then the younger submit themselves to the elder. Now watch this. It keeps going. Yea, unto you be subject to one another, and be clothed with what? What's that next word? Humility. What is the idea of all this as structure of authority? It's about humility. One of the reasons we will ever struggle doing the big job, getting it done in such a way, and I'm not talking about the numbers, I'm just talking about knowing that your life counted, that you made a difference, that you made an impact, and it was great and it was good. And you weren't the one, you weren't being your greatest enemy, you weren't the one holding yourself back because of all the stinking pride in your life. verse 6. Well, let's finish verse 5. And be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud. But what does he do? He gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that I may exalt you. Here's an interesting thing. Exalt you in due time. See, God has a time and a place to take us to the level like we've never known before. It may not happen till you're older in life. It may not happen till you're gray-haired. It may not happen. I may not see it when I want to see it. But I know this morning, without any shadow of a doubt, that God wants to, and you think about the theme that we have. By the way, the message last night, unbelievable. I identified with Shamgar last night. How many identified with Shamgar a little bit? Wouldn't change your name. You really want to make the impact and say we're about missions and we want to go into all the world. We got to start taking care of us. Because there could be a businessman, there could be a businesswoman that could make. How many times have we struggled financially? Finances seem to be the biggest hurdle, but it's the most important hurdle to truly make impact for missions. This church does not function without the money that comes in those offering plates. Brother, there ain't a Sunday goes by that you don't find out the number of what's come in and you have some kind of concern about where it's at. It can be up, it can be down. And what we do so many times is we look so much at what we can do instead of humble ourselves and see what he is capable of doing. And humble ourselves before him in such a way it doesn't matter where you find yourself. Are you in the pit? Are you in Potiphar's house? We're all favored. We're blessed. Oh, we're blessed. So many people even use this terminology to say, I'm blessed. And you'll say, how you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. You about know where they go to church. Well, you know what? Every one of us blessed and highly favored. But it's high time that we get serious enough and get along with God in a humble way that we want that favor of the Lord to impact the people around us. And we want to have the favor with man so we can see what God has equipped us and called us to do, make the greatest impact. Let me tell you something what's happened recently. Recently, we are seeing that there are major corporations giving to see the gospel taken throughout the world. I know this is one mission agency, but we're seeing Under Armour. We're seeing Procter & Gamble. We're seeing men that are over Fortune 500 companies give literally millions of dollars to the gospel. When's the last time you heard about that, though? I can give you context to this. I can show you exactly. You know what it took? It took somebody to walk into that man's office and to have favor of the Lord when he asked the all-important question, will you give? Some of you missionaries, you'll go into churches, and man, I know it's got to be frustrating. You're on deputation. The statistics are just astounding on how long it takes. Some of the statistics that are coming down the pike just seems to blow you away. You see the great need in the world. Over 2 billion people in the world right now have never heard the gospel. There's not even a person to reach them. 6,000. All the statistics are brand new. 6,000 people groups. Over 2 billion people are categorized as unsaved. Not even unsaved. They've never even heard the gospel. There's more people, listen to this, in Yemen, in northern Yemen, there's 2 billion people in northern Yemen. North Yemen. That's more people than the entire state of Kentucky. Guess how many Christians they're saying lives there? 20 to 30 professing Christians. We could get statistics. And by the way, you all are the real professionals when it comes to the statistics. The statistics are there. Why are we sitting back and not having the favor of God to do the incredible, the impossible, make the greatest difference? And while we have this window of opportunity, I'm talking about making a global impact. I am begging God to use little old Chad Gamble and Gospelite Baptist Church, little old church meeting in a hotel to make a global impact. I am thankful for Bio already being a part of our global plan. But it's going to take the favor, not only of Almighty God on Chad Gamble's life, but it's going to take the favor with other men and women as we allow our light to so shine before men that they may see our good works. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, I pray that you would allow us to see the power that is possessed, Lord, as we humble our lives. I pray, God, that we would get serious enough to pray for the large doors to be open, those people that can make such an impact. Lord, the opportunities that are out there, Lord, sometimes just to ask is so difficult. Our pride keeps us from asking the hard questions. And I pray, Heavenly Father, God, Lord, that you would do what only you can do. God, I pray, Lord, that a prayer of anointing would be over Bio even in 2017. Lord, would you take this organization to heights unknown? Lord, would you make the missionaries, Lord, not only comfortable, but Lord, would you allow their ministries to thrive? Protect them, Lord, I pray. God, touch us. Help us, Lord, each one to do our part. And I pray, Heavenly Father, God, Lord, as we humble ourselves, God, we would receive that not only grace, but, Lord, we would have favor, Lord, in that unmerited grace, Lord, that only you can give. And, Lord, we'll be careful to give you honor and praise for your precious Son's name. Amen and amen.